I want to welcome you all to our service this morning. As I was thinking about school, thought about my school years, and some good times, not so good times. School was very hard for me. Was a very slow learner. Had a lot of teachers that didn't understand that. So therefore, I don't have a lot of good memories of school, but there is a lot of good things. Favorite time was recess, when you could be outside and didn't have to be stuck at a desk studying. But as I was thinking of, Doug said to try to keep the theme of back to school, you know, how do we relate life to school? And so I brought a report card from school year of 96 and 97. I would have been in second grade. And there was just different things on here at the end on your behavioral growth. So one was self-discipline, follows directions, works done on time, is courteous, is self-control, respects authority, creative, flexible, establishes goals, work is neatly done. That was not one. Thorough and complete. It was satisfactory, organized, works well with others. It was interesting to go back through here and see kind of how a teacher viewed me at, would have been 7 or 8 years old. Works well with others was excellent. Happy and positive, puts others first, achieves goals, positive attitude, neat and clean. And neat and clean stuck out to me because I didn't think I was that neat and clean. I guess that's maybe why. In my line of work, I'm a little extra picky, but just something to share. As I was thinking about this, there's different ways I could have gone. How do I apply school to life? And being as I brought a report card, my title is going to be, "What does my or your report card say?" At the end of our life, we're all going to have to answer for what we've done. And there's going to be things on there, how well did we do? We're going to have to give an account for everything. My text this morning is from Romans 14, verses 11 and 12. For as it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give an account to himself. So as we look back on our lives, everything we've ever done, said, thought, we're all going to have to answer for someday. And to me, as I think back on that, there's a lot of things that I'm not proud of. And I tried to apply a couple things that might be on our report card when we get to our end of our life. The first one is willingness to learn. A lot of you seniors, Zach, you just graduated this past year, right? You going to college? Okay. You have to have a willingness to learn to exceed. And that's going to get you far in life. Are we willing to learn a new craft or willing to learn more about our Christian life? There's so many things that we can learn, and the text I have for that, willingness to learn, is Proverbs 1, verses 5 through 7. You don't have to turn to these, just a couple verses I had picked out. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. To understand a proverb, an interpretation, the word of the wise, and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So it is very wise to, you'll be willing to learn. There's a lot of, I'm going to include myself and the youth on this, but there's a lot of wisdom sitting right here in this front row. It's got people that have lived life, and you're going to tap into that. Are we going to be willing to, when someone takes you aside and says, maybe this is something that would help you out, are you going to be willing to learn it, or are you going to say, no, you don't tell me what to do? I got this figured out. I know when I was younger, I was very bad for that. I thought I knew everything in life. Now I get older, I don't know anything. The second one on there, did I love and care about others? And I thought about that. You know, Jesus, when he was here on earth, he loved and cared about everybody. How well do I do that? And just an example can be, you know, it can be lots of different things. Yesterday we were playing ball in a local tournament, and there's this one fellow on the team that I've played against him for years, and he's, to me, looking on, like, he seems like he's had a lot of hurt in life. And you can see that. You can see the hurt in his eyes. And he wanted to talk. And something that I don't do very well that I'm trying to work on is listening. You know, that can be a form of love and caring about others. Listening to someone's story. You know, caring about them. That might go a long way. Loving your neighbor as yourself. That could be the person sitting next to you doing something for someone. Showing that you care. Next one is, did I control my tongue well? And the scripture I use for that is James 3, verses 1 to 12. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold, also the ships, which they, though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm, whitherso the governor listeth. Even so, the tongue, a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity, so the tongue among many members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it setteth on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts and birds and serpents and things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father. Therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, either a vine, figs? So can no fountain produce both yield salt water and fresh. And I know the tongue here, it says in verse 8, it says, but no man can tame the tongue. And I know we can't, it's, says we can't tame it, but are we controlling it well? Is cursing coming out of our mouth? Is blessing? You know, it's something that I really need to work on is controlling my tongue. You know, so many times we just fly off the handle at somebody, and then we think about it and we're like, oh, that didn't come out like I thought it would, or we didn't stop and think. The fourth one is, did I let my light shine for Jesus? And for that I have Matthew 5, 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Letting our light shine. If the world was lit only by the light that would shine from our life, what would the world look like today? Would my light be burning bright, or be flickering, or would it be out? I don't know, that's a question I'd have to really ponder. Am I letting my light shine for Jesus? Am I really on fire for him? I'll give you an example. A couple weeks ago, we were in the middle of our regular season of softball, and we were playing a team that can really get under your skin. And I'm sure Galen and Rocky knows what this is like, Craig. When this team, they kind of get you. And it was getting a very intense game. and I said something I should not have. I felt bad about it later. I apologized to my team, and I also apologized to the other team, a fellow on the other team that I had really directed it at. I never really talked to that man much on the field. He's a really good ball player, very, very confident young man, very good. Ever since then, when I see him, he always comes and talks to me, or I try to talk to him. And it all came out of something that I said that I shouldn't have. I'm not here to pat myself on the back because I did not want to go apologize at all. Because it's hard to admit when you're wrong or when you screwed up. That goes against your nature. So, are we letting our light shine? The last one I have is, did I forgive others from the heart? And we hear about forgiveness and everything that goes with it. For the scripture, I have a couple different verses, Matthew 6, 14 through 16. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive men not their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. And then 1 John 1, 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And as I thought about forgiveness, every one of us in life at some point is going to have to forgive someone. Someone either has wronged you. Maybe it's not real bad, but in some cases it's a really deep hurt. And to be able to forgive that person, that doesn't come easy. And we hear the phrase, forgive and forget. Well, I wish we could do away with that. Dan Beachy told me that he wishes we could just totally forget that part. Because we can't forget. You can forgive, but that memory will always be there. It's what you choose to do from your heart if you choose to forgive that person. You know, Jesus forgave us. He paid a debt. So great. I want to paint you a story, or paint you a picture of forgiveness. One day in my life, I'm going to meet my stake, and it's going to be over for me. And I imagine myself meeting my Maker. And as I'm walking up to the Almighty throne, I can see the doors of heaven. I can see through it. There's beauty there that I can't grasp. And as I walk up, here comes someone around the corner with a stack of papers and says, wait a minute, God, wait. I got something for you. This Chris that just walked up, he doesn't deserve heaven. He sinned many, many times. He made a lot of mistakes in life. You can't let him in. Satan hands the Father the stack of papers. As he starts to read, I hear him say, oh. Flips it over, reads some more. Gets all the way through. And at the point, by this time, I'm sweating, I'm shaking, because I don't know what's going to happen. This time, about when I've lost all hope, someone else steps into the room. A quiet, peaceful man. Doesn't say a whole lot. Walks over to the Father and says, Dad, give me that, please. And as he takes those papers and he begins to read, he pulls something from his pocket of his long white robe. And he stamps the first line, reads the second one, stamps it again. Till he gets all the way through. And on that stamp, it says, paid in full by the blood of the Lamb. Takes a stack of papers, hands it back to Dad. Dad says to me, welcome home, son. That is forgiveness. Are we able to forgive our brother, someone that has wronged us? It's not easy. But there is one who forgave you and me for everything that we've ever done. Thank you.